From WHQR Public Media in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. 120 years ago, this Saturday, November 10th, a mob of white supremacists burned property, terrorized Wilmington citizens, murdered anywhere from a dozen to 300 people, and forced elected officials from office. This is a special edition of Coastline. In later segments, we'll hear from New York Times Magazine writer John Jeremiah Sullivan and his research partner Joel Finzel. We'll talk with former city councilman, political science professor, and Wilmington native Earl Sheridan. But first, in the event you're not familiar with this part of Wilmington's history, WHQR's Vince Winkle explains.
Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for the Carmel.
African Americans actually controlled the commerce. And when you've got a race of people that control commerce and that were well off, to say, to put it mildly, and then you've got a whole nother group of people that were upset by this economic boom for African Americans, what you had was a bomb getting ready to explode.
So that's 25 years after emancipation. Wilmington is still the largest city in North Carolina, and it has been the largest city since before the Civil War. It is a majority African-American city and county, and it is a place of relative opportunity, commerce, business. The railroad's still important.
1898 occurred because people don't believe it, the city of Wilmington had a majority of black businesses that were successful, middle class, politicians, and there were some whites who were not happy with that, and that was part of why this massacre occurred and led up to it. The overtaking, which was the only known coup d'etat that ever occurred in the United States.
In the 1890s, Wilmington was thriving. It was North Carolina's largest city. Almost 60% of the population was black or non-white. The Civil War and slavery were in the past. Black people in Wilmington were elected to local office and held prominent positions in the community. Three of the city's aldermen were black. Black people were also in positions including justice of the peace, deputy clerk of court, street superintendent, coroners, policemen, mail clerks, and carriers. Black people also held significant economic power in the city. All that was about to change. White people geared up for the 1898 elections. Colonel Alfred Waddell, a Confederate veteran and former U.S. congressman, told a crowd before Election Day that year, and I quote, "We will never surrender to a ragged raffle of Negroes, even if we have to choke the current of the Cape Fear with carcasses. Go to the polls, and if you find a Negro out voting, tell him to leave the polls, and if he refuses, kill him." End quote. Meanwhile, Alex Manley, publisher of Wilmington's black newspaper, The Daily Record, was encouraging blacks to vote. Jan Davidson is the Cape Fear Museum's historian.
So the Daily Record, which was Alexander Manley's newspaper, it was a daily African-American newspaper, and he was a Republican. So he was encouraging people to vote, but one of the things that causes some of the tensions is there is an editorial that was written in August of 1898. So Manley wrote this editorial in response to a speech by a woman named Rebecca, I think it's Fulton, it may be Felton, that said that you should lynch black men if they're rapists and lynch as many of them as it takes to make them stop. And this is kind of this trope of the idea that African-American men will attack white women. So Manley writes back and basically says, there are a number of relationships that happen that are consensual, and if you're going to say those things about taking care of white women, you should make sure that black women are protected from white men. And this caused a lot of consternation.
This prompted the white leaders and newspapers in the city to fight back. Tensions grew. Davidson says there was already a strong movement to create a white supremacist Democratic Party that would take over places like Wilmington. In 2007, Duke University professor and historian John Hope Franklin addressed the National NAACP convention about the 1898 coup.
And it was the goading of locals who were smarting under the fact that there were black office holders, black property owners, right, in the downtown section and so forth. And they just couldn't stand it, couldn't take it, couldn't accept that measure of manhood on the part of blacks. And so they said, no, they're out of place. We'll have to cut them down to size. And that's what they proceeded to do in 1898 with the provocation, which was oversight. Except that on the one hand, the agitators, the ones who whipped the flames of the fire, were vigorous as well as bitter.
And there comes Manley's paper runs an editorial suggesting that white and black people are equals and that African-American citizens were not the provocateurs.
And that was putting not oil, but gasoline on the fire. It blew up the town for Manley to suggest that.
Election morning. It's Tuesday, November 8th, 1898. The Wilmington Messenger newspaper headline that day asks, "What will you be?" It states, "Today, white men of North Carolina must declare where they stand." The subhead reads, "Question of race, not politics." The Democrats, meaning the party of white people, won the election. Historians say they won because of fraud and the threat of violence. But it wasn't enough. Municipal offices up for election in off years remained in Republican hands. So the white Democrat conservatives put a plan into action to make sure blacks would never again be a force in politics. At 422 South 7th Street in Wilmington, a stone's throw from Church Street, there's a dirt parking lot. It's next to the St. Luke AME Zion Church. This is where the Daily Record newspaper building used to sit. Hollis Briggs Jr., a community activist, is standing in this vacant lot. He says the Democrats of 1898 did not want blacks to have any power or prosperity.
They weren't allowed. They weren't about to let that happen here in this area. And they saw this as the weak link to the fence, and they wanted to take that down. So let's just build it like that. And to say now that even some of the third generation people here in Wilmington that have money and assets and power. It was achieved by what happened in 1898.
The morning after the election, November 9th, a group known as the Secret Nine held a meeting at the county courthouse. Reports indicate that 600 white men attended. Hugh McCrae of the Secret Nine attended along with other prominent white Democrats. The so-called White Declaration of Independence was read to the crowd. It asserted the supremacy of the white man. The group decided that Alex Manley, publisher of the Daily Record on South 7th Street, must leave the city, and it ordered the Daily Record not to be published again. On the morning of November 10th, hundreds of white men armed themselves with rifles and a Gatling gun, the forerunner of the modern machine gun, and walked to the two-story publishing office of the Daily Record. A few hours later, the white mob gutted the building and burned it to the ground. It's estimated by the end of the day between 60 and 300 black people had been killed. David Soselsky and Timothy Tyson wrote in Democracy Betrayed that African Americans in Wilmington believed more than 300 were killed. A leader of the Secret Nine said there were 20 deaths. Hundreds more fled to Brunswick County and beyond. At the site of the Daily Record, if you kick around in the dirt for a few minutes, you can still see some of the foundation bricks.
Folks ran away. They ran into the swamps, into Pine Forest Cemetery, tried to get away, tried to hide.
Museum historian Jan Davidson.
Some people were put on trains and sent out of town. Alexander Manley, they think, escaped before all this happened because somebody tipped him off and that he knew it was happening. When the dust settled, the city of Wilmington had undergone this experience of violence. At the same time, the
political machine.
Yes, maybe machine. I guess the political party went into action.
According to Deborah Dix Maxwell, president of the NAACP of New Hanover County, the exodus had begun.
And then you also have to look at the decimation and the reduction of blacks within the community known as Wilmington and New Hanover County occurred instantly. One only has to look at the census records before and the census records afterwards to see such a total reduction in the black population of this area.
While it's a terrible story, it is one that also draws awareness to, again, the importance of learning history.
That's Hoggard High School teacher Craig Underwood. He teaches about the 1898 coup in his American history class for juniors. He says a lot of his students come in with no knowledge of the events of 1898.
So when you can present a new topic and one that is as controversial as the events of 1898 is just the genuine interest. I've had student feedback of, you know, wow, because, you know, I had no idea about that and I want to read more about it. Do you have anything on it? And, you know, I loan out, you know, the books I have and things like that. So just the genuine interest in the topic, being that it was right here in Wilmington, is the greatest impact that I see.
There's a plaque along 3rd Street. It reads, Alex Manley, 1866 to 1944. Edited black-owned Daily Record, 4 blocks east. Mob burned his office November 10th, 1898, leading to race riot and restrictions on black voting in North Carolina. I'm Vince Winkle for Coastline.